Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
She has a great word, and she's helping me in our teaching today with as we're going through the Bible. And we're talking a little bit about David. But I don't know if you know, but you know, we've known, my wife and I have known, you know, we met Tony and Mariella 30 years ago. I was thinking about that today. That's a long time. And I don't know. I mean, 30 years ago, that means that would, it's just, time flies when you think about that. But we met them as my wife and I moved from California here to, you know, take on the task of children's pastor and kind of a outreach pastor. They were involved in a ministry that reached out to skaters, skateboarders. They were very, very involved in it. They did a tremendous job. It was a Friday night youth program called RAP. Never forget that. But since that time, and I saw in them just how God used them. I saw, you know, the word that comes to my mind, you know, when I think about them, I think just solid, mature Christian family. And I see how God has kept them. I see that they take their Christian walk with great seriousness, with great commitment. And they've been such an encouragement to us. I think one of the greatest encouragements to us is the fact that they've been in this church, you know, as long as the church has started, just about, right? So that, you know, the fact that when somebody could stay in the church that long, I mean, that shows a great level of maturity, right? Because after a while, you know, you begin to see all the flaws, you begin to see all the things. It's easy to find fault if you're not in the Spirit. It's easy to, you know, look at all the things that you don't like, how they're going on, and feel like maybe there's greener grass elsewhere, right? And they haven't done that, and I do appreciate them. And not only do they minister to us, they minister to our kids. They're involved in the children's church, leading them in music and teaching as well. They got a great gift of teaching, both of them do. And we're just encouraged by what they do and what they offer. She's going to come to you with a message from a different angle on David's anointing. And I know I'm forgetting to say something, but it'll come to me halfway through your message. I'll come up. I'll try not to interrupt you. But I want you to give a nice welcome to Mariella Marrero. Amen. Amen.
Hi, guys. Normally, I'm running from upstairs, downstairs, full of bags and stuff. So today, I'm teaching the Word of God. And again, my name is Mariella Marrero. My husband, Tony, my wonderful, wonderful husband, Tony, and I have been here for 24 years. Only George Herrera has been here longer. But we're very blessed to be under the ministry of Pastor Dennis and Odalis. They are godly, faithful people, and we're very blessed to be under their ministry. Absolutely. So today, when Pastor Dennis started teaching on Samuel from 1 Samuel, I asked him, and this is way back in the end of October, I think early November, I asked him, would you have a space for me to speak on, because I've studied 1 Samuel and 2 and 1 King, you know, the study life of David a lot in my time of worship with the Lord. And I just felt like a burning desire to teach. I just felt like I had to teach. And so he says, well, Mariella, you know, maybe something will open up. And so all this time later, here we are. And I just feel very privileged to be here before you. So I'm teaching, the lesson is not as man sees, but as God sees. A lesson in listening to God in your business life. Okay? Now, I'm a business person. I did go to a Bible college, Evangel College in Springfield, Missouri, for a year and a half. And I came home, and Tony graduated from a Christian school with an emphasis in Bible and business. I'm not a full-time minister. I am a lay person. That means that, you know, I'm not a full-time, I guess I'm not a full-time ministry. So what it is, what God did call me to is a business person. And I serve God in that capacity as if it was my ministry. That is what God has called me to. So right now I am in charge of import and distribution company. We're in charge of one of the four offices nationwide. And I handle all of the everything that has to do with the company, the sales, the personnel. Right now, we have 60 people in the building. Equipment, infrastructure. I handle all the construction projects. Anything related to my company's business in Miami, I handle that. And then recently, we started a second company for logistics. And warehouse product handling and such for companies outside of ourselves. I'm just saying that so you know that I know a little bit about business. So. So it's what I do. It's what God's called me to do. But I try to do it exactly the same way I did when I was younger and I worked at Sunset Christian Academy, you know, teaching four-year-olds. It's the same heart. It's the same. There's no difference other than God has put me where I am today. To do what I'm doing for His glory. So I hope that I can encourage you in the things of God today and encourage you through this lesson. So if we could, let's just start out in prayer. Dear Lord, I just praise you, God, and I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, anoint this message and minister to hearts to draw them to you, Lord, to let them see the power of your hand in their lives, Lord Jesus, in every way. Be glorified. In your name, amen. Okay, so so let's move into the slide two, please. Okay, so when I train people, I always train them with this statement. No one builds a building starting on the fifth floor. You don't do that. If you don't know that, then you walked away with some information. All right, you have to have a foundation. And it's got to be a good one because it's got to carry the load and the weight of the building and the people and the equipment and everything else that's on there. And you have to have a solid foundation, okay? It's no different for us as Christians in our business life. And what is our foundation? Our foundation is the Lord and the Word of God. And so I'm going to give you some foundational points. So this isn't even part of the lesson. It is what the lesson is going to point to. No matter what we do today, it's going to point to this. So I want to point you to our foundation. We're establishing the foundation for this lesson right now. And we have some foundational verses. These are verses that are mine. They're the ones that I memorize and I claim and I pray and I call out. But you guys are going to have your own. And these verses, you need to take verses and put them on your computer. Put them on your cell phone. Yeah, on the bathroom mirror. Put them on the dash of your car. Put them where you're going to see them and remember them and memorize them and claim them because they are that footing. They are going to take the load of your life. They're going to take the swaying of the wind and the weather. They are those pillars, those footings. Okay, so first of all is truth. And the Bible says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus is. Truth. Okay, so our number one foundation is truth. That's our number one footing. Everything else revolves around that. The Lord is true. And because He is true, He's going to keep His promises. And everything that you build upon it will stand. If you are standing knowing and living that God is true. Next one is faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So those of you here who love God and you're like, how can I thank you, God? Lord, how can I worship you? You know how? Trust him. Have faith in him. That's how you bless the Lord. Okay? That's how you give pleasure to God. All right? God at work. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All right. You love God? Do you love God? All right. He's working for you. Okay? And he's working for your good. Temptation. Ooh, what is that verse? What is that doing here? Okay, here we go. Temptation. No temptation is overtaking you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. From 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay, so you're facing a situation. I've got to lie. I've got to bend the truth. I've got to throw someone under the bus. Someone's got to go. Better be him. I've got to break a law. No. Not if you're God. Not if you trust him. Not if your heart and your mind are determined to do what is right for God. Not if what you're trying to fulfill in verse 2 in faith is going to come true, where you are going to please God. So what do you have to do? You have to trust he's going to give you a way out. You're going to trust that he's going to, when all the doors seem sealed, that he's going to open a window. You're going to go through the basement exit. Okay? But there's a way out. Okay? Trust him. Okay? Don't trust your flesh. Trust him. Okay? All right. So moving into trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Okay. So we are facing a situation and we know to trust God. But we're going to do it this way because we feel that it's the right way. Or my friends are telling me that's the right way. Or my mom and dad think that that's the right way. Do your mom and dad go to church? No. Okay, well, all right. So, all right. But you know what's the right way. Okay. So when you choose to do things without consulting God, you're saying that you know more than God. Okay. That he needs your input on this particular situation, on how to resolve it. Okay, so that is not true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Why? Because he knows every single detail and you don't. Okay, you don't. So trust him. Okay, and impossible. Now this was brought to me from a lesson that Pastor taught earlier in 2019 from the book of Genesis. And this is the same verse in Jeremiah 32:27. It says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? No, there is nothing too hard for God. Okay, and he loves you individually. He loves you specifically. I always tell the kids in Sunday school, there's no one with your DNA. There's no one with your fingerprints. There's no other you. God created you because he loves you. And he has a plan and purpose for you. But he wants you to trust him. And he wants you to know that there is nothing too hard for him. Nothing. Okay? So are our foundational pillars straight this morning? Everybody got it?
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Here we go. Okay, so our Bible verses are from 1 Samuel, and we're in chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're talking about David's anointing, but we're going to talk just a little bit more. Because I've taught this lesson so many times, and when I was preparing it From day one, God took me a different direction. And it's for somebody here or a group of people here. Okay, because it's God's plan, not mine. All right, so 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses, we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. Okay, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord says, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Okay, so basically, it's a done deal. If any of you remember or recall the previous sermons from Pastor Dennis, that Saul had disobeyed God. And God said, "That's it. You're not going to be king anymore." But the funny thing about that is that he was still king. All right. So, but God had another plan because of Saul's disobedience. But Samuel, whose job it was to be the priest, was suffering. He was mourning. In fact, the last verse in chapter 15 talks about that Samuel was mourning. And here we are in chapter 16, and he's still mourning. He didn't do anything, but he's mourning over something related to his business. Something related to his business. And the reality is people, we mourn over other people, the loss of other people, okay? But here we see a truth in this, that people mourn over issues related to their jobs. We spend a lot of time at work. I know I personally am more at work than I am at home. The issues related to him, sometimes you don't just leave them. Sometimes they come home with you. They're eating breakfast with you. They're in the shower. They're in your bed. Those burdens, sometimes they're just carrying and carrying and carrying with you. And it's no different than Samuel. So we're going to talk about how God addressed this in Samuel's life. And how he wants to address it in your life. Okay? So let's go to 7. Okay, so when we have disappointments, what kind of disappointments do we have? Well, we have employers. Sometimes our employers disappoint us. Our employees, customers, or suppliers. Sometimes we failed at something. We did something, we tried something, and it didn't work. Maybe we were demoted. Maybe a new project didn't get off its feet the way it should have. Or maybe we have lost. We lost our jobs. We lost money. We lost customers. We lost time, ideas, or equipment, etc. There you can name multiple things that can cause you to mourn, that could cause you sadness. The way it caused Samuel sadness, okay, as he was mourning over Saul, okay? So what are the human reactions? Sadness and depression. So you're like, "Oh, wow, do Christians get depressed?" Like, yeah, sometimes you gotta hang on to those foundational verses we were talking about trusting God. You know, you've got to call them up. That's why they're on your computer and on your dashboard and on your phone to encourage you that, you know, that God is working for your good. Okay. Sorry for my terrible handwriting. So you've got to encourage yourself, okay? Sometimes you lose focus. Samuel lost focus. And God had to ask him, "Are you going to continue? How long are you going to mourn?" Okay, how long are you going to mourn? And then other times, you're not understanding your purpose. I've had it with this job. I've had it. I've given my best. I don't think I fit here anymore. And your boss is saying, it's only been 3 months. You know, and you're like, well, no. But really, sometimes we lose our purpose, and then we flounder. And then it's like you're not attached to anything. There is no foundation, okay? But you don't flounder when you're grounded, okay? You don't go like this. You are grounded, okay? And then another human reaction is anger, complaining, or unforgiveness. That's like kind of like the complaining, like when you complain against your employer or employees or your company. Guys, you work for your company. And you're tearing it down with words? Don't do that. Don't ever do that. It represents you. And if you feel so strongly that it doesn't represent you, then leave. Okay? But if you're there, make it better. Make it better. Okay? And how? What's the easiest way to make it better? Close around. If you don't have something good to say. Okay? All right. So, don't have unforgiveness in your business life. Meaning, well, my coworker, they didn't help me, so you better believe I'm not going to help them. Okay, so, I'm sorry, who's the Christian in the room? All right? So, we have got to serve the Lord. The Bible says that whatever our hands have to do it all our might. Okay, so you just remember, you're doing that unto God, not that person. Because when you're promoted, that person is still there. But you're already at a different level. Okay? All right. So now we're going to go in. So we're going to look at this. So the Lord tells Saul, how long will you mourn since I've rejected you a king? So he's basically saying, get up. Time to go. And he says to fill your horn with oil and be on your way. As a priest, his horn with oil was his instrument, his tool. So if you're, let's say, for instance, a computer person, that means get your computer together, put it in your briefcase, let's go. If you're a construction worker, work in construction, let's go, get your tools together, let's go. If you're a teacher, get all your teaching materials together. Let's go. Okay? Meaning, we're going to get everything that you work with together because you are not done. God is not done with you. Okay? And he says, I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So now he's giving him a new purpose. Not only are you taking your tools, I'm not just sending you out to the street. Well, where do I go now? He's telling them with a purpose. Okay? But Samuel says, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. And the Lord says, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. So what does God do? Remember our little scripture about temptation and about a way out? Here, God comes up with a creative solution to a very real fear. He's going to kill me. Okay? Well, God says, then we'll do it this way. Completely cloaked. Saul's not going to notice because Samuel's doing what Samuel does. But God protects them. God gives them a new approach, a new view of how to do it. And that's what he'll do for you. No different. No exceptions. Okay? And then he's telling him even more. Take the heifer with you and tell him, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to his sacrifice. And I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Guys, trust God. He will show you what to do. He will fill you with knowledge. He will give you wisdom if you trust him. So can we go back now to the previous slide? So God's vision. Remember, we were talking about God's vision versus our vision. God's vision is God is not done with you. Okay? God's vision is seek him and he will speak to you. Okay? God's vision is he'll give you new direction. He'll give you instructions. He'll give you protection. And he'll give you the ability to do it. Okay? Guys, he will do it. But you've got to trust him. All right? You've got to listen to him. All right? Now, I do want to say something about Samuel. Samuel, if you recall from the pastor's teaching and from, you know, what you read in 1 Samuel, Samuel had been listening to God since he was a child. All right? He had learned to hear God's voice since the time he was a child. So when God tells him something, he knew God's voice. But I want to tell you spiritually, even if you say, well, I didn't come to know the Lord till I was so-and-so age and so-and-so age and so-and-so age. That's okay. Because you guys were born again in Christ Jesus. And the moment you accepted Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit came into you and gave you spiritual ears to hear him. So from that point forward, you listen to God. Okay, even if you weren't a little child listening to him, you are a child the moment you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and the Holy Spirit is working in you. Have those spiritual ears listening to what God is saying to you during these difficult situations. Okay, we're good? All right. So now we're going to move on to the next point. All right, so we're going to move on to verses 4 through 10. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen these." So when Samuel arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town, they trembled. Because surely they thought he was coming to pass some kind of judgment. The Lord knows. Now he's sending Samuel, and we're toast, okay? Lightning's going to come down. All kinds of things are going to happen. They were scared. But the elders had wisdom. They had the wisdom to assess the situation, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" And he, Samuel, told the elders to consecrate themselves, and he consecrated Jesse and his sons. So we're moving on to slide 9. Okay, so we're talking about uncertainty. So when Samuel came into that town, from the perspective of the elders and the people in the town, there was uncertainty, okay? And it's like this road. Either way, you really can't see very far, okay? And sometimes we feel that way. So we ask, why is this happening? And I've got to tell you is don't let the mind game win. The mind game, okay? There was a book, what you guys, when you had the little bookstore once, it was written by a medical doctor about the mind, you know, about not letting things torment. And that book had done tremendous things for me because I know that sometimes your mind can go off on little bunny trails, you know, like the movie Up, squirrel, you know, the little dog. Okay. All right. So it's kind of like that, but you keep chasing that squirrel. But don't let the mind game win. Don't let it become a vortex that starts swirling up here and you can't see what's real. You can't see the truth, right? So what did the elders do? They asked. They didn't jump to conclusions. They were nervous, but they didn't jump to conclusions. They asked the right question. They were asking the right questions. Why? To dispel fear. Why have you come? So in your case, your boss comes to town, or your boss comes to, or calls you into the office. Uh-oh. You know, every step is like lead. What did I do? Oh, no. Oh, no. You know? And I've seen that. Sometimes I've called people into the office, and they're so scared, you know? I'm like, no, no. I always have to say from the start, you did not do anything. Don't worry. Because sometimes people, they don't know. I know when my boss has come down from Chicago, and she's come down, the first few years, I'd be like, I'm getting fired. I didn't do something right. Oh, no. You know, and I would think that, and, you know, those are natural human fears. But God gives us wisdom through His Word, and He's saying, listen, if you're scared, ask questions. Ask. So that's what they did. They asked this godly man, and the man gave them the answer. No, I'm not here for that. So they're, you know, they're like, okay, great. I don't need a lightning rod. I'm all good. Okay, so ask the right questions to dispel fear and to understand what will happen so that you can plan accordingly. Guys, information is a blessing to help you plan accordingly. Now, I've, in a couple times, and in this room right now is my former business partner, Jillian. She's sitting in the back of the room. So she and I worked together for many years, and a person with higher business acumen would be harder to find than her. She's amazing. But when we were together in one of our companies, or the first company that we worked for together, the company was going through transition, and people were afraid of what the future, what did the future have in store? And so what happens is people have conversations over here. And then they'll kind of like select a representative, go talk, go ask, see what's going on. Okay, so, but sometimes he would just have people who were honestly mature enough to say, you know, instead of listening to this, I'm just going to ask, what's going to happen? Are we going to go under? Are we going to have a job? Are we going to do this? And you can dispel their fears. No, my answer was, to the best of my ability, no one's leaving, not from this department at least. And then all of a sudden, the weights come off. The fear, the scales that were had them to downcast were gone. But they had the courage to ask. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Ask. Okay? Because what's the worst that can happen? You plant an idea on someone's mind, let's say who's a decision maker, and they're going to go back and talk to their people, and they're saying, well, everybody's asking, what's going to happen? And really, it was just you. But you are everybody. Okay? So, and eventually, someone will say something. So, there's nothing wrong with asking. Okay? Just to make sure that you are in a place where you're comfortable. And then the next part is understanding that God sees what you can't see. Okay? Guys, He knows the heart of man. He knows your heart, as well as other hearts and other intentions. And you're like, yeah, but they don't have my good in mind. They're not going to protect me. They're going to run me under the bus. God's got your back. You are under God's shield and protection. And even if something happens, let's say the worst happens in your mind. You lose your job. God will help you find a better one. Okay? So because you have faith and you have trust in Him, and because He knows your future, but He knows the heart of man, okay? And He knows that just because this person looks to be like the most astute person or the wonderful person in the world, that's not the person. It's a person with the amazing integrity who's over here. And even though that person wasn't even invited to the party, God sees him. Okay? God knows exactly where he is. So seek God's answer, not your own. That's important, okay? Remember not to lean on your own understanding. So go to God with the uncertainties, okay? And God's going to bring you understanding. And use your foundational verses and add new ones, okay? So what are those verses? Remember to trust in the Lord, that God's going to give you wisdom. So all of these verses that are the ones, again, that are taped to your computer and on your bathroom and, you know, wherever you hang out, those are the ones that are going to feed you. Those are the ones that are going to encourage you. Those are the ones that are going to remind you that foundation, when it's poured, it's unmovable. It's unmovable, guys. And I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. I'm saying this because I normally sit right next to you. I'm a business person. I work every day. And I'm telling you, God's word is true. God's word is true in this. And I want to encourage you in it. Okay? All right. So the next part that we're going to talk about, we're going to move to 1 Samuel 11 through 13. And so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Well, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil. Remember that? His little business bag with his horn. Remember that he couldn't leave behind because that was his tool? Okay. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, a.k.a. co-workers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel went to Ramah, meaning he moved on. Okay? God still had more for him to do. All right? So now I'm going to move you into something that's, again, related. So we're going to go into a commercial interruption. Okay? So that's the next slide. And I want to talk to you about striving. Okay? You're like, striving? What? Where did that come from? Okay, so striving. It's to exert oneself vigorously to try hard, to make strenuous efforts towards any goal, to contend in opposition, battle, or any conflict, to compete, to struggle vigorously as in opposition or resistance to rival, to vie. Okay, now, why am I talking about striving? Because sometimes we strive. And why do we do that? Well, the world tells us to be a really good business person, you've got to be cutthroat, you've got to be mean, you've got to, you know, put number one first, and number one happens to be me. Okay? But that's not God's way. Okay? Because Jesus says that if you want to be great, you're at least first. If you want to, you need to, he washed the feet of his disciples. That if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. Okay? So if you want to be great at what you do, you need to serve. You need to follow Jesus' example, not the world's example. Okay? And you need to serve. You need to sweep floors. You need to help your boss. Not like, okay, well, they're really busy, but I'm done. All right? You need to be a servant to others. So if you want to grow, that's how you do it. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you God's word. If you have any issues, talk to God. Okay? Yeah. So it's, those are the things. So if you're good at sweeping, like when, again, back to my Sunset Christian Academy days, where in the day, like, you know, when I was actually in a special program at Sunset where I went to high school half the day and the other half I worked. And I worked at Sunset Christian Academy. And so I would be a teacher to the preschoolers, four-year-olds. Oh, they're so cute. They're so, yeah. You want to learn good business practices? Teach four-year-olds. Okay. but then afterwards, they had me vacuuming the floor. Where's Miss Mariella? She's up there vacuuming the floor. Okay, so me and my friend Suzette, we were up there every single day vacuuming. I'm a really good vacuumer. Even to this day, I'm a very good vacuumer. Okay? I guess what the point I'm telling you is that I'm not afraid of hard work. Even with what I do today, I'm not afraid of hard work. I'll vacuum. I'll sweep floors. I work in a warehouse. I wear ugly shoes, even here. Sorry, guys. Because I'm in a warehouse. But if you're good at sweeping floors, if you're willing to do that, and you're really good at it, and you do it as unto the Lord, God is going to teach you the principles to be really good at sweeping problems. Okay? To knowing how to fight them, knowing how to do it, because you've committed this and God's built that talent. So let's see how he did that in David's life. So let's go on to... Can we go on to 14, Henry? There we go. So what God saw in David to make him king. Okay, this is from Psalm. It's not even for 1 Samuel. It's from Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. It says, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. He took him from the sheep pens. Well, was he just a visitor there? No, he was tending sheep. He was working in the sheep pens. But God knew exactly, this is me on the bottom, the little blue parts. Don't think that's in the Bible. That's just my notes. All right. God knew exactly where David was. The next verse. From tending the sheep pens, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. Why? He knew how to shepherd. He knew how to care. He knew how to tend. He knew how to lead. All of them lessons from the sheep pen. Okay? Or sweeping. Okay? Verse 72. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. Remember the heart? Remember that God knew whose heart was the right heart to be the king? Not any of his seven brothers, but his heart. And David shepherded them with integrity of your heart. With skillful hands, he led them. David's skill came from his time as a shepherd. He spent time with God and knew God. The skills that God developed in David were transferable into the important task of leading a nation. Guys, what sheep pen are you in? What do you feel like is right now maybe a little thankless? Maybe a little bit smelly. What are you doing? It's not forever, guys. It's a skill that God's trying to work in you. It's a trust he's trying to develop in you into him, to trust him. To trust him with your talents, to trust that he's developing something in you to lead a nation. Well, what nation? Well, you mean I'm going to be a president? Maybe. But let's start with your company or your department or your team. And let's take it from there. Okay? God can use you. But yeah, sometimes you have to work in the sheep pen to understand how to lead the sheep. Okay? All right. So can we go back to 13, Henry? Sorry, I threw you off there. Henry's so great. Jillian, this one's for you. All right. So things we strive for with our human vision. We strive for position sometimes. We strive for recognition. We strive for inclusion, and we strive for reward. we strive because we've got to have this position. No. I've got to be the department manager. But do you know anything about managing? No. But I'm good at telling people what to do. Okay. Recognition. We want to be recognized. We want people to think we are number one. The problem in that is sometimes comes is that sometimes you'll take somebody else's work and slide your name into the as being the person who did it. And that's not right. You take the credit for something that's not yours, even if it's an idea. Okay? And so you got to be careful with that. Don't want recognition so much that you're willing to throw somebody, take to do something that to that person is dishonest. It's unfair. And to that person, remember, that person is still a future child of God. They'll see that, and they'll see how you behave, and maybe they don't want to be a child of God because that person, they weren't all that nice. So you want to behave as a Christian, and you want to make sure you give the right credit. Don't be afraid to acknowledge that other people know more than you. Okay? Don't be afraid of that. Because you don't know everything. But as a team, you know a whole lot. Okay? Inclusion. So what does that mean? Well, you know, when they go to have an event, I want to make sure I'm included. Or when they go out to lunch, you know, I want to be there too. Even if I'm spending $120 a week on lunch. So what? I eat by myself in the lunchroom, guys, so I save a lot of money. So, in all seriousness, inclusion is really dangerous because sometimes you're willing to compromise to be included. And just remember in this story that David was completely excluded. He was not even invited to the party. But God invited him. They actually said, if you read the verse with me, it said they stopped it until he could come. God is going to do that for you. Don't worry about these people having their little parties or whatever. Don't worry about that. Okay? You worry about honoring God in what you do and how you do it. And trust me, you will shine brighter than anybody in that company and in what you do. Okay? All right. And reward. Oh, you know, I've seen this. Oh, you know, I really think I should get this much money. And I know this is going to sound terrible. I know I should get this much money. But I'm not going to do what you asked me to until you give me that much money. Then I'm like, well, how do I know you can do what you're asking me? If you're not going to do it until I give you this much money, and you're not doing it now, how do I know you can do that? So it's, okay, prove it, guys. If you really want the reward, God will give it to you. But you've got to be really, really careful when you're wanting reward and not putting the work. Now, in David's case, when we see him, he worked hard. And his work and the skills that he learned, which we'll probably hear more of in later lessons, is where he was developing skills on how to fight. He had music skills that were used. He sang praises to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord in private. And those are the things that gave him the integrity of heart. So he wasn't looking for that reward. Yet God opened up the heavens and poured it out on him. Okay? He did that. And again, he'll do the same for you. All right, so moving on to how God strived for David. In the position, God had a plan for David. In the recognition, David did not have to promote his skills or sell himself. God took care of that. Even a song was written that honored David throughout the land. Imagine that. Well, how is God? I'm not promising that somebody's going to write a rap song about you guys, okay? All right? It's just, I am not promising that. But the thing is, God will honor you, okay? He's going to bless you. He's going to, he's going to bless you. And I, you know, even like, one of the people who goes to our Spanish service, Henry's mom, Lourdes, where she's teacher of the year. And a few years back, she was fighting just to try to get a full-time job with Miami-Dade County. She's teacher of the year in her school. Oh, the Jack, your mom. I mean, that amazing, amazing. So, she, you know, but I just want to say that that's recognition. That's huge. That's enormous. That's unbelievable. And I, you can't help but rejoice with her. So, inclusion. God did not leave David in the field. He knew exactly where David was, and he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are. And the reward, David became king. And Jesus came from the line of David. Okay? So, who's going to come from your line? Who's going to come, who in your family is going to receive the reward of your faithfulness to God? Your kids, your family, your employees. When you grow people, when you help somebody grow in your company, and now they're in a different place where they can buy their first little house or their little car. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing because of your faithfulness that you can bless others. Okay, so allow God to use you that way. So moving on. So in conclusion, God's vision over ours, where we see disappointments like Samuel did, God reminds us that he's not done with us. Okay, when we face fear, he shows us that clarity can be found if we stay focused. And when we strive to be seen and to self-promote, God assures us that we are seen, but have lessons to learn to be strong for what he has in store for us. Trust him, trust the Lord, and his timing. Okay? And this lesson is for you to encourage you, and it's all praise to God for his love and his firm foundation under our feet. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.